This is PCJ Radio International. PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of the program. Today, we're going to be continuing our look in Program 5, looking at some of the most influential comedians and comical groups from the 20th century. Today, we're featuring the talents of Benny Hill.
Colleen, Colleen, oh, I'm aching for you. Colleen, Colleen, my heart's breaking for you.
The clothes that she wears, they leave no doubt of the lovely figure she's got. And when she's wearing slacks, you can see that on her they are not. And when she goes walking down the street, the view that you get from the back reminds you of a couple of ferrets are trying to get out of a sack. Colleen, 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 my heart's breaking for you. I used to part me hair down the centre, she said that was too severe. So just to please her, I parted it across from ear to ear. Now how do you like me new hairstyle, I asked me Irish Rose. Oh darling, you look marvellous, she whispered up me nose. Colleen, Colleen, I'm aching for you. Colleen, Colleen, my heart's breaking for you. We took me bald-headed Uncle Bert to the cinema for a treat. He lost his teeth and he searched for them underneath her seat. Colleen, she looked down and she saw the bald head of my Uncle Bert. She thought it was her kneecap and she covered it with her skirt. Colleen, 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 my heart's breaking for you. Now we've married and we've settled in a cottage in Rabout. The bed it is all broken and the springs are sticking out. But when I recall our nights together, me heart it wants to sing. We kissed all through the winter and made love right through the spring. Colleen, 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 I'm aching for you. Colleen, Colleen, my heart's breaking for you.
Benny Hill, featuring the Ladybirds and Colleen. Hill was a unique comedian, because in Britain during the 1950s, when television really started to take off, a lot of comedians that made a name for themselves on radio and in the theater made the transition to television. Benny Hill was different. He was truly the first comedian that was made by television. Now, prior to getting his own show on BBC in the 1950s, Hill did tour the United Kingdom performing as a stand-up comedian to less than enthusiastic audiences. He said later on in his career that this was partially due to the fact that most of his comedy was visual, so unless you were sitting front row center, most of the gags you would have missed. When he did make the switch to television, that's when his career really took off. He had highly successful series for BBC. He also hosted a couple of one-time specials, only for 2 years, for the ATV network, Lude Grade's company. But it wasn't until he signed a contract with Thames Television in 1969 that he became a real household name. Now, not because he was on Thames Television, because of what Thames Television did, which was repackage his shows for syndication. At one point, there were over 180 countries in the world that were running the Benny Hill show, everywhere from Argentina, Cuba, even China. This also brought stardom to the United States. His show was widely seen in the late 70s and 80s in the United States. Today, the Benny Hill show is still seen in over 100 countries around the world. Now, a lot of people think that The Benny Hill Show was a long-running series. Well, actually, no, it wasn't, despite the fact that it was on for over 20 years. But he would only produce 3, sometimes 4, TV specials a year. In the late 70s, Thames took all these TV specials up to that point, edited them down to 22 minutes for syndication, so it gave the impression that, well, there were actually more shows produced than there actually were. The same was with the BBC shows. He only produced about 3 to 4 shows a year. Many of the characters from the BBC shows did come over to his Thames series, including many of the sketches. The reason for that is because, well, the sketches that were seen on BBC were, well, not really remembered that well, so he redid them and maybe changed some things in them. In the 1960s, he did do a radio series of 6 programs called Benny Hill Time, of which we'll take a listen to one a little later on. Now, one thing that he was known for on the show was his poems. And this poem, which is called Birds and the Bees, I consider to be one of the best.
I'd reached the age of 14 and I hadn't started courting, and my mum was getting worried about me. She says, Dad, it's time you told him all about the birds and bees. He says, the birds and bees, and he set me on his knee. He says, now, remember Uncle Joe at that picnic a while ago where we went off into the woods with Auntie Pat? And how I chased old Riley's daughter, and what happened when I caught her? I said, yeah. He said, well, birds and bees does that. Dad works very hard indeed. Well, he got 10 kids to feed. Well, 10 7/9 to be precise. And we all wear hand-me-downs. And as I am the youngest and the others are all girls, it ain't very nice. Dad says, it's time that you got wed. I says, I'd rather drop down dead. He says, now, how about old Maud from Oakley Down? I says, Maud, not bloody likely. She been had by all the chaps in Oakley. He said, well, Oakley's really quite a little town. He says, you've got to get a wife. You can't go on enjoying life, or folks will think you're strange and start to frown. I says to him, now, look, why should I buy a book when there's a thriving lending library in the town? One day I found a friend. It was up by Badger's End. Little pigeon fell down at my feet. His feathers was flecked with red, and at first I thought he's dead. And then I knelt and I felt his little heart still beat. I cupped him in my hands and I ran home to my mam, and she said, son, I'm as proud of you as I can be. You're thoughtful and you're kind and you've got a gentle mind, and that'll do a treat for your old father's tea. I says, you shall not touch my bird. And without another word, I took him in my room and I shut the door, and then I bathed him and I warmed him and I nursed him back to health, because you see, I'd never really had a friend before. I taught him little tricks, like playing dead and picking up sticks, and the village girls, they brought birdseed every day. Dad, you can't come in, I chant, or my birdie will fly out. But of course, I let the village girls all stay. Well, there was Mabel from the stable and Mary from the dairy. We had a visit from our beauty queen. And that great big Betty Mavery. And she got her own aviary. Well, she got the biggest parakeets I've ever seen. Dad says, you ought to let him go. The mum, she says, oh, no, you just want to get some shooting practice in. But the vicar says, my son, it really really isn't done, and to lock up a wild thing, well, that's a sin. One morning, when it was all still, I took him up to Badger's Hill. I lost the only little friend I had that day. Not a word I said, I just kissed his little head, and I opened my hands, and I watched him fly away. He circled up and round, and then he settled on the ground, and off he went straight up to the sky, and then I looked, and I could see he was flying back to me. And then he swooped, and then he popped right in my eye. I thought, that's bloody rude. And core, there's gratitude. And I hope they never cross a pigeon with a cow. And Dad says, here, there's a caper, I'll go get a bit of paper. I says, don't be dumb, he's miles away by now. Dad says, I know you lost a friend, but it's really not the end. You'll be married and have your family of your own quite soon. Well, I never said a word. But you see, that little bird had lured 18 little ravers up to my room. So if anyone's got a spare cockatoo or an old crow they don't want, I'd be very much obliged because, you know, I'm a good news.
Birds and the Bees, Benny Hill. One of his most memorable poems. In the 1960s, Hill did a series for BBC Radio that featured many of the cast from his television show, including Patricia Hayes, who also appeared in a number of his Thames programs. She was sort of, well, very well known for playing the doughty wife and the cockney girl. Now, Patricia Hayes is an interesting actress because she had performed everything from Shakespeare to Dickens, but was excellent at doing comedy. We now bring an episode of Benny Hill Time for March 16th, 1964.
It's Benny Hill time with Peter Vernon, Jan Waters, Patricia Hayes, Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson, and Malcolm Lockyer's Hill Time Band. It's also time for the lad himself, Benny Hill.
Thank you very much indeed. You know, we read quite a lot of stories in the papers these days about big business tycoons. But how do they get there, and what are they really like? Well, we asked Peter Vernon to go along and visit one of them.
Well, now, I'm standing outside quite the most palatial penthouse I've ever seen. It really is most opulent. I'm just going to ring the bell.
Is there someone there?
Yes, I'm from the BBC.
Well, come in anyway.
Mr. Scuttle?
Mr. Frederick Scuttle III, if you don't mind, sir. Do sit down, sir.
Thank you.
You're not too cold, are you, sir?
No.
And let me know if you are. I will throw some more money on the fire. Would you like a grape, sir? The butler has just finished peeling them.
Thank you.
Cigar?
Oh, that is kind.
Yes. Well, put down the grapes. You'll need both hands for this one, sir. Well, I have them specially made, you see, so you can smoke them and keep your feet warm at the same time. Now, I'll just get you a light over from the fire, sir. These new fivers don't burn like the old white ones. You know. There we are, sir.
Yes, it's very nice. Well, now, Mr. Scuttle, with all this wealth, you must be quite a target for burglars.
Oh, indeed, sir. They practically live here, sir. Well, only last Thursday night, sir, while the wife and I were upstairs watching her jewellery, they came in and stole the television set. Still, sir, easy come, easy go, you know. Did you have a nice journey here?
Yes, and thank you for sending the car. It's a lovely car.
Yes, it was, wasn't it, sir? Yeah.
It was?
Oh, I shan't use it again, sir.
Why not?
It's facing the wrong way. Besides, the ashtrays are full.
I see you're an inveterate smoker.
No, sir, I'm a cigarette smoker.
Well, now, I know that you say that by not putting your goods through the shops, but by sending your salesman from door to door, you're helping the housewife.
I do, sir. I think I can safely say that I am the housewife's friend. You see, sir, I cut out the middleman. As a matter of fact, sir, they have just made a film dedicated to me and my salesman.
Oh, what's it called?
Those Magnificent Men and Their Washing Machines, sir.
Now, your salesman have to go into the homes of the housewives and get them to sign the HP forms.
That is so, sir, yes.
Now, if the woman was alone, would one of your salesmen try to coerce her?
Well, if he thought she'd enjoy it, I suppose he might. We don't encourage that sort of thing during working hours, sir.
I see. Well, tell me, how did all this start?
Well, sir, I realised at an early age that I had the gift for knowing what people wanted, sir.
Cutting out the middleman.
Yes, sir, again cutting out the middleman.
What were you selling?
All sorts, sir. Siamese officers, tin helmets.
What would people want with those?
I shudder to think, sir. Then I sold ladies' corsets, sir. Living off the fat of the land, I was. I sold books, sir, unexpurgated editions of Noddy, Teach Yourself Brain Surgery. I was the first with the postal pastries, sir.
Postal pastries?
Yes, sir, you see, I had this old warehouse and I made sausage rolls and sent them to the customers, you see.
And you made them with your own hands?
No, I used sausages, sir. You see, so the sausage cost me threepence, and the casings cost me threepence, you see, and I sold them for sixpence.
Well, how did you make a profit?
Every fourth one had no sausage in it.
Didn't the customers complain?
Well, no, sir. Some of them asked for them specially, sir. Vegetarian, sir. They was known as the roll with the hole in the middle. Used to advertise on the telly. They'd say, oh, yeah, the roll with the hole. Then I sent out boxes of those little tiny pastries, sir.
Ah, putty four.
No, I put in more than four, sir. Sometimes half a dozen, sir.
I still don't see how you amassed a fortune of over £1 million. How did you manage it?
Well, sir, the wife's grandfather passed on last month and he left us £1 million, you see, sir. But as soon as I heard he was ill, sir, I phoned up the undertaker right away.
The undertaker? Well, didn't you go to a doctor?
Oh, no, sir. I always believe in cutting out the middleman. Would you like a grape, sir? Well, here now with a song from Little Me, called On the Other Side of the Tracks, is Jan Waters.
On the other side of the tracks, that is where I'm going to be. On the other side of that great divide between fame and fortune and me. Gonna put my shadows behind me, give my inhibitions the X. And tomorrow morning you'll find me on the other side of the tracks. On the other side of that line, where the life is fancy and free. Gonna sit and fan on my fat divan while the butler bottles the tea. But for now I'm facing the fences, and I can't afford to relax. When the whole caboodle commences on the other side of the tracks. So I'm off and running over the rail. I'm going gunning after the quail. Off and running, send me the mail to that great big world on the other side. The great big world on the farther side. The great big world on the other side of the tracks. On the other side of the tracks, that is where I'm going to be. On the other side of that great divide between fame and fortune and me. Gonna put my shadows behind me, give my inhibitions the axe. And tomorrow morning you'll find me on the other side of the tracks. To the great big world, that'll open wide. To the great big world on the other side of the tracks. Other side of the tracks. Other side of the tracks.
Fine boat in weather. Coming 96 come in 96.
Yeah, Harry, we better get back quick.
But we only been out 3 minutes.
Well, he said come in 96 and we're 96. I just looked over the side. Yeah, it's 96 all right.
Lofty.
Yeah?
You're not by any chance reading it upside down, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what number are we then?
69.
I don't know why I bother with you. I don't straight. And don't keep splashing me.
I can't help it. I'm not used to rowing, not like them.
Not like who?
Well, them girls in that boat. Oh, they're lovely, ain't they?
Oh, yeah. Here, who are they?
Oh, they're the girls from the university. They're the rowing team.
I wouldn't mind stroking a crew like that myself.
Here, Harry,
yeah?
See that one on the end?
Yeah.
Well, that's Antonia. She's always misbehaving herself.
How do you know?
I've heard. They reckon she'll be expelled one of these days. I don't know about the other seven, though.
Well, they're all in the same boat, ain't they?
Shall I try and catch them up?
Catch them up? You couldn't catch up a slow-moving crab. Now, pull in at the bank over there.
Why?
Because that Janie Waters is sitting on it, and I want to chat her up a bit.
Yeah, but she's on her own.
Well?
Yeah, well, I know what'll happen. It's always the same. You'll get off with her, and I'll have to go home by myself.
Well, how do you know she won't fancy you instead of me?
Well, they never do, Harry.
Oh, no, look, mate. I mean, you're assuming, aren't you, that she'd go for the one who's nice looking and interesting and witty and full of charm, ain't you?
No, I think she'll go for you.
You're joking, I hope, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But look, I mean, not all women go for good-looking blokes. I mean, some women are kinky for ugly fellas, you know. I mean, some women like going out with horrible-looking men because it makes them look prettier, see? I mean, you might even bring out her motherly feelings. What they call her material instincts. I mean, she might, like, pity you because you're such a big, ugly slob.
It's nice of you to say so, Harry. But I don't think it'll work out like that.
And you haven't noticed what I've noticed, have you?
What's that?
Well, what's that she's holding in her left hand?
Handbag.
And what's that she's got in her right hand?
Another handbag.
And what do you assume when you see a girl sitting on a riverbank with two handbags?
She's got a lot of money.
No, mate, she's got a friend. One of them handbags belongs to her friend. So we're all right, ain't we?
But here, yeah, supposing her friend's a fella.
With a handbag? What sort of people you been knocking about? Now, don't worry, mate, she's got a girlfriend.
Well, where is she then?
Well, I don't know, but she's gone to have an ice cream or something. Now hold still and I'll nip out there and I'll chat her up a bit.
Shall I come with you?
No, you stay here. You might put her off. Here goes. Hello, then. All by yourself, eh?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm waiting for my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm with someone and all. What's your girlfriend like, then?
Well, she's got a nice nature.
One of them, eh? Is she pretty?
Well, no, I wouldn't say she was pretty. But I wouldn't say she was, like, horrible either. Sort of in between.
Pretty horrible?
No, I wouldn't say that. Well, not in front of her. Well, you can see for yourself. That's her standing over there by the kiosk, near that Alsatian dog. She's the one with the hat on.
Oh, yeah. Edie Grimthorpe. Yeah. Well, it can't be up, can it? Well, look, I'll go and get my colleague, you. Excuse me. Here, Lockley, here, Lockley.
Yeah?
Oh, Lockley, lucky you, eh? Cool, mate. Cool. You're going to have the one I wanted. Only like I saw yours. Too late, I couldn't change that, could I, you know?
What's mine like?
Oh, she's a real mad bird, mate. Orbitsville, here you come, eh? Come on, mate. Here we are, then. This is Lofty. And here comes Lofty's little playmate of the month.
Got company, I see.
Well, now, I'm Harry.
And I'm Lofty.
And I'm thirsty. Ooh, look at me. I don't get what to say, do I?
No, you don't.
Well, I'm Edie. Edie, yes. Now, come on, let's all get comfy. Harry, you come and sit with me.
No, I'm supposed to be with...
No, come on. Two's company, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think we should leave them two alone together.
Oh, we'll be all right.
I mean, aren't you scared of being molested?
Oh, of course not.
No, I mean Lofty.
No, I'll be all right, Harry. I'll shout if I need anything.
Oh, come on, Harry. Can't you see they want to be left alone? Here, this looks a nice spot. Let's sit down here.
All right.
Ooh! I'll sit on your end, then.
Yeah, I noticed. You nearly broke it.
Now for me lemonade. In with the straw and away we go.
That sounds very nice.
You're not having any, so you needn't think you are.
Why don't you put it up half a tone and I'll join in the chorus? I should imagine that's very nice.
And that's all what you're going to do, imagine. Well, I can't give you any because I've only got one bottle.
It happens to be a quart bottle.
Yeah, I know. But I wasn't very thirsty. There we are, all gone.
Charming. Who's your friend? Here, I think we ought to join the others and go for a row.
Oh, you got a boat?
Yeah, we got it for another half hour, yeah?
Well, what did you say so? You, Janie, Lofty, here, come on. We're all going to have a row.
Oh, that's lovely.
I was just beginning to enjoy myself.
Yeah, well, now, let's see. Look, I suggest that to keep the boat balanced, Lofty should sit up the sharp end. And Janie and me next to each other in the centre.
Well, what about me?
You can steer.
Well, do I look like a tiller girl? Look at me. Did you hear that, Harry? I said, do I look like a tiller girl?
You don't really want an answer, do you? Now, let's all get down to the boat.
Well, now, look here.
What?
Look, I don't like the seating arrangements.
You wouldn't.
Well, why can't I sit down at the front?
Because you're not built that way. No, sometimes I wonder. Now, let's get over to the boat. Right, here we are, then.
Oh, it's only a little boat. It only holds two.
Oh, yeah, I quite forgot. Well, then, two will have to walk back, and the other two can take the boat out, can't we, Janie?
Yes, yeah, all right, then, if you say so. Here, Edie, here's your handbag.
Oh, careful, you're spilling all my things all over the place.
Hello, what's this? Is it a letter from an admirer?
That'll be the day.
No, it's from me dad. It's personal. You're not to read it, Lofty.
I'm just off to Norfolk to buy another cannery. I hope you like our new yacht when you see it.
Here, give that back. That's very rude, Lofty.
Thank you, Harry. You're a gentleman.
It's all right, my dear. Your dad got a yacht, then?
Yes.
Pity it's not here, innit?
Well, it wouldn't be suitable for the river. It's too big.
Oh, is it? Well, like I say, Edie and I are going to boat. And Lofty and Janie, we'll probably like to see you another day, like.
Yeah, all right then, Harry.
Charming.
In we get, my dear.
Oh, you are gallant.
Oh, well, I can see you're a lady. Off we go, then.
Ta-da, you two.
Alone at last, eh? Yeah, I think we should make for a little island, don't you? We could really be alone then.
All right.
I mean, we've got a whole half hour, haven't we? So we're not in a hurry, are we?
Well, should I row a bit slower, then?
Well, we don't want to tire you out, do we? Here, tell us about your dad's yacht.
Oh, it's lovely. It's, like, all white, and it's got three tall masts.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to see it, Harry?
Oh, yeah, not half.
Sandy be all right?
Oh, yeah, not half. Yeah, where?
Amsterdam, on the round pond.
round pond? You mean it's a little yacht?
No, it's 2 foot long.
But you said the yacht was too big for the river.
No, I said the river was too big for the yacht.
Well, what about that letter? Your dad buying another cannery.
No, Lofty read it wrong. He's buying another canary. Well, we've only got one, and after all, two's company, ain't it?
Not here, it ain't. Now make for that landing stage. Perhaps we'll catch him before they get away.
It's Janie what you really want to be with, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just the one what you get stuck with, ain't I, Harry? I'm never the one what you really want. Well, I may not be very attractive, Harry, but I've got feelings, you know. After all, I am a human being.
You could have fooled me.
You just don't understand, do you?
Understand what?
Well, about people like me. The odd girl out. The one some chap gets stuck with, never the one he wants. I'll tell you something, Harry. A girl who isn't very pretty needs to be loved just as much as a girl what is. Well, more, in fact. Because she needs reassuring that she's wanted and that she's needed. Do you see what I mean, Harry?
Well, yeah.
Oh, Harry. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Now, will you please?
What?
I want you to ask me to go out with you next week. And I want you to ask me nicely. Just like you really wanted me to go with you. Please, Harry.
Yeah, well...
No, please, Harry. Ask me nicely. Please, Harry.
Well, Edie, I'd like very much to take you out next week sometime. I'll call for you and take you out to dinner and a show, and I'll bring you home after. Well, will you come?
You didn't say please. I'll say please, Harry.
All right. You'd make me very happy if you'd come out with me, Edie. Please, will you come?
No.
Women! It's time to hear now from Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson, and this week they've chosen a song from Robert and Elizabeth. It's called The Girls the Boys Dream About.
The girls the boys dream about may not have boys.
The girls the boys dream about cuddle their toys.
But the girls the boys dream about boys. Dream about boys.
The girls the boys dream about may have their fans.
The girls the boys dream about live with their dads.
But the girls the boys dream about lads. Dream about lads. The clock ticks on and love goes by, but hope stays strong and still.
The boy that you've waited for, waiting for you, waiting for you. For the days that are over, the bells that were rung, the dances you danced and the songs that you sung.
But the girls that boys dream about always stay young.
Always stay young in the memory.
unflinchingly, timelessly, yours.
Once again, it's time for Benny Garan. And here to introduce it is Peter Veig.
Hello there. Pine Tree Studios' new film goes on release next week. It's a drama about three West Country bank robbers, and it's called The Jolly Robbers.
Now, I should just have one more glass of my homemade wine and I should be all right.
You do not keep drinking like that, Ted. That's slow poison, that is.
Well, I'm not in any hurry. Besides, we knows how old our drink in this village. Why, I seen some of them down the pub drink 18 pints a night.
18 pints? Don't you have any of them drunk?
No, we never ever had any of them drunk. Had one burst last week. Oh, this is lovely homemade wine, this is. Go on there, have half a glass.
All right, then.
There you are. I made that myself. Now, what do you think?
That's not bad. Looks a funny colour, though.
Ah, that'll be the dye out me socks. I forgot to take them out. Right, then, let's have a look at the plans again.
Well, here, I don't like the idea of it. I mean, robbing a bank, well, it's not nice, is it? It's dishonest. I don't like anything dishonest.
No, but you'll like the money when you get it.
Oh, I like that. But here, why do we have to have a girl go with us?
Because that's how they done it in the film I seen. It's what they call a mole. She's a gangster's mole.
What's she like?
Oh, she's real handsome, real handsome. I tell you, if she was Eve and I was Adam, I'd get my apples by the cartload. Here, that'll be her now.
Hope I'm not late.
That's all right. Glad you could make the scene. Welcome to my pad. This is Arnold, and this is Ermintrude, known to us as Ermine.
Hello?
Hello?
Right, now let's go through it once more.
Oh, Ted, I don't like the idea of it at all.
Now, look, Ermine, there's no risk. Look, I tell you, the bank's in Cardiff. Arnold's got the plan. It's all set.
Well, if you say so.
But look, Arnold, show her your blueprint.
Oh, no, I don't want to see any rude pictures. It's not nice.
Blueprints, they look the plans.
Oh.
And don't you go saying nothing about this to you-know-who.
Who?
Your mum, that's who. The eyes and ears of the world.
My mum wouldn't say anything.
Your mum's got a big mouth.
She hasn't.
Your mum sleeps with her false teeth in a bucket. Right, now according to Arnold, the safe is here, right against the wall. Now, on the other side of this wall is a house, and the woman lets rooms. Now, Ermine, you and I are going to take this room here.
Yeah, wait a minute. We're not married.
But she don't know that.
No, but I do.
Look, we take this room at lunchtime tomorrow and we start drilling through the wall.
Well, how long will it take?
I don't know.
Well, I'm not stopping the night. It's not nice. Besides, there might be a night watchman. Suppose he finds us in the bank.
But we're not going into the bank. We're just drilling a hole big enough to get my arm through. Then I turn the handle of the safe, open it, take it, the money, and Bob's your uncle. Now, you, Arnold, all you got to do is to get us there in the van, and Ermine, when we get to the house, try and look like a wife.
How shall I do that?
Carry the cases. Now, come on.
Are you sure you want this room?
Oh, are you? This is the one we want.
The other one's much nicer.
I know that. You see, this one's next to the... No, this one has such a lovely view over the gasworks.
How long you been married, then?
Four years.
4 years.
You are married, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
I mean, to each other?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I think I'd better have a look at your license.
Well, it just so happens that I have it in my pocket. There, now that's settled.
Well, just a minute. I'll have to get my glasses and look at it properly.
Rightio. Quick, lock the door and open the case.
Here, you haven't got a marriage license. What was that you gave her?
My old dog license. Well, she won't know the difference.
Hey, come in there. Whatever you're doing, stop it, because this isn't for it.
bath.
But there isn't a bath in there.
That's what's making it awkward. What's up?
Give me a dog license, you muff.
Well, I expect I left my marriage license at home.
Well, I let it go this time, but I don't want no trouble, see? This is a respectable house. It's not a hole in the wall.
Right, she's gone now. Plug in the drill. There we are. I can just get my arm through now. Right. Now, where's that plan? Ah, move Anne to the right. Yes, I can feel the safe. And just to the right is... Yeah, I got hold of the handle. Now, grip it firmly and quickly turn it down.
Oh, Ted... What are we gonna do now?
Run like hell, it's the wrong handle.
Hilltime with Peter Vernon, Jan Waters, Patricia Hayes, Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson, and Malcolm Lockyer's Hilltime Band. The program was written by Benny Hill and produced by John Brown.
An episode of Benny Hilltime, BBC Radio, March 16th, 1964. In 1971, Hill had a hit that made it into the top 20. Now, this was actually a song that he'd performed on his show. But what happened was it appeared on the show, but, well, it was just forgotten. And the reason was there's a number of, well, not number, but three or four of Hill's shows for Thames Television that were shot in black and white. This was because of a labor dispute that was going on with technicians at the time who felt that they should be paid more because they were working in color television. So they went on strike by saying, well, they'll produce the shows, but they'll have to be in black and white. So he actually did a song with the Ladybirds called Ernie, the Fastest Milk Cart in the West. Now, the version that he did on his show was very different from the version that he ended up recording with the Ladybirds that same year. It went to number one on the British charts, and he even made an early video that was shown on the BBC programme Top of the Pops.
You could hear the hoofbeats pound as they raced across the ground, and the clatter of the wheels as they spun round and round. And he galloped into Market Street, his badge upon his chest. His name was Ernie, and he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie loved a widow, a lady known as Sue. She lived all alone in Lily Lane at number 22. They said she was too good for him. She was haughty, proud and chic. But Ernie got his cocoa there 3 times every week. They called him Ernie.
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. She said she'd like to bathe in milk. He said, all right, sweetheart. And when he finished work one night, he loaded up the cart. He said, you want it pasteurized, cause pasteurized is best. She says, Ernie, I'll be happy if it comes up to me chest. That tickled old Ernie.
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
Oh.
Now Ernie had a rival, an evil-looking man, called Two-Ton Ted from Teddington, and he drove the baker's van. He tempted her with his treacle tarts and his tasty oatmeal bread. And when she seen the size of his hot meat pies, it very near turned her head. She nearly swooned at his macaroon, and he said, now if you treat me right, you'll have hot rolls every morning and crumpets every night. He knew once she sampled his layer cake, he'd have his wicked way. And all Ernie had to offer was a pint of milk a day. Poor Ernie! And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. One lunchtime, Ted saw Ernie's awesome cart outside her door. He drove him mad to find it was still there at 4:30. And as he leapt down from his van, off blood through his veins did course. And he went across to Ernie's cart and he didn't half kick his horse, whose name was Trigger.
Trigger!
And he pulled the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie rushed out into the street, his gold top in his hand. He said, if you want to marry Susie, you fight for her like a man. Oh, why don't we play cards for her, he sneeringly replied. And just to make it interesting, we'll have a shilling on the side. Now Ernie dragged him from his van, and beneath the blazing sun, they stood there face to face, and Ted went for his bun. But Ernie was too quick, things didn't go the way Ted planned, and a strawberry-flavoured yoghurt sent it spinning from his hand. Now Sue, she ran between them and tried to keep them apart, and Ernie pushed her aside and a rock cake caught him under his heart. And he looked up in pained surprise and the concrete hardened crust of a stale pork pie caught him in the eye, and Ernie bit the dust. Poor Ernie!
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Ernie was only 52. He didn't want to die. But now he's gone to make deliveries in that milk round in the sky, where the customers are angels and ferocious dogs are banned, and the milkman's life is full of fun in that fairy dairy land. But a woman's needs are manifold, and Sue, she married Ted. But strange things happened on their wedding night as they lay in their bed. Was that the trees a-rustling, or the hinges of the gate? Or Ernie's ghostly gold tops a-rattling in their crate? They won't forget Ernie.
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
Benny Hill and his smash hit Ernie, here on your program, Happy Station. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. Now, I want to take a couple of moments to tell you about some special test transmissions that we're going to be doing. The test transmissions will be on May 19th, 26th, June 2nd, and June 9th from 13 to 14 hours UTC. The frequency will be 11750 kHz. That's 11750 kHz. And we're going to be broadcasting to East and Southeast Asia via the Trincomalee relay station in Trincomalee, Sri Lanka. We're going to be doing a special program for that, so do tune in. You can find the details at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. So once again, May 19th, 26th, 2nd of June and the 9th of June from 13 to 14 hours UTC. The frequency is 11750 and it's going to be running at a power of 125 kilowatts, targeting listeners in East and Southeast Asia. Now, of course, shortwave being what it is, and the frequency choice, there's a good chance that this frequency will make it in other parts of the world. And I want to thank, of course, our good friend Victor Gunatelica for helping us with this. And Victor, by the way, will be in taking care of any reception reports that are sent in via email. And we're going to be taking them ourselves here for ones that are sent in by snail mail. But you'll have to listen to the program to find out all the details. So once again, you can find the information at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Now time for music. Here's Marvin Gaye with a very well-known song, Abraham, Martin, and John.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. Yeah, I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here John, can you tell me where he's gone? You know, he freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. Yeah,
just looked around and he was gone. Oh yeah. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young, yeah. I just looked around and he was gone.
Abraham, Martin, and John, Marvin Gaye. The special programs that we're going to be doing on the dates that I mentioned just a moment ago is going to be, there's going to be a 10-minute news bulletin about news and the Asia Pacific. And then, of course, a special edition of Happy Station for all of them that will be involving audience participation and some other surprises as well. So you'll have to tune in. And those programs will not be made available online. They will only be broadcast. We will upload later that is, after they brought the air checks of them. But they won't be uploaded the weeks that they're on the air. Only the regular Happy Station, the one that you're listening to now, will be made available. Time now for one last song on today's program. Here's Andy Williams and Happy Heart, a song that was actually composed by James Last.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover they're
never felt before. You have changed my life so completely. Music fills my soul now. I've lost all control now. I'm not half, I'm whole now with your love.
And with that song from Andy Williams, Happy Heart, we've come to the end of this edition of Happy Station. So until next time, friends, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.